Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's going on, Shane. We're going into week two of the SEC season. We're going to have some rivalry games. We have a conference game. Mm-hmm. We got coach fired odds already. So, buddy, I mean, we're like 3 days into the season. We're ready to run off one of the coaches of the season, man. I'm fired up.
Well, I was just thinking about it today, you know, as listening to all the coaches give their little pressers. I was like, did we try to fire this guy? Yeah, we've been trying to fire a lot of them. So I'm pumped up, man. I mean, obviously week one was exciting, was awesome. We got to see Papaw Bill get his ass kicked yesterday, and now it's on to week two. You know, it's like you can't really talk too much about the week because you're just wanting to just like, hey, snap and clear. Some teams that don't even want to mention what happened week one, and then there's others that are still kind of looking in the rear view, and you always wonder, does that kind of loiter around? Does that catch you and bite you in the ass going into week two?
Right, so we're going to preview all the games here, Shane. Maybe some of the info you learn, what you should do with take that info, yeah. Run over to mybookie.ag, the online sportsbook. That's the website, mybookie.ag. Put in that promo code SEC. When you put in an initial deposit, they give you basically a free deposit, Shane, up to $500. Again, with that promo code SEC, your first bet is totally covered. So let's say you put in $100 on, the Sooners to whoop Michigan's ass. And for some reason, maybe the refs cheat, maybe Michigan's still cheating and Oklahoma loses. Well, you get your $100 back with that promo code SEC and you could keep playing. Or if you win, you could cash out. Again, it's free money over there at MyBookie with that promo code SEC, presenting sponsor of the show.
Hell yeah. I like free money, Mike. You know, actually, I like reassurance that everything's going to be all right. Even though my picks were so damn good this week, it's nice knowing in the back of your mind that if I missed one, I could have got my money back.
Well, I know how you celebrated all those winning picks, Shane.
Hell yeah, with my boys.
Yeah! Tennessee legend, official distillery of that SEC podcast. If your package store doesn't have Tennessee legend, go in there, smack him in the face and say, why ain't you got this fine whiskey in your store? Apparently, Shane, we just heard that even Cousin Schwan in Germany was able to get his hands on some Tennessee legends. So they're international. You know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you are at Sevierville, be sure to stop by and at one of the locations or same thing in Nashville. Tell them you're a cousin. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will get a gift as well. Somebody texted me earlier today, DM'd me, said, hey, we're coming up to the Smokies. Where can we eat? I don't know why people always ask me where we eat, you know? And I'm like, so of course, I gave them where to eat. And I said, but before you do that, make sure you stop by Tennessee Legend and let them know the cousin sent you.
Absolutely, Shane. And speaking of cousins,
yeah,
we got a new one, Shane. Shout out Garrett Newell. He just became a member, Shane. Welcome
to the family.
Garrett, thank you for joining the family. And then we got a bunch of damn gifters, Shane. JR, yeah. The legend. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got it here. Okay. He just gifted Robert Mackenberg. Robert, welcome to the family.
Courtesy. Cousin JR has done it again.
And then Gunner's kicking ass because LSU's want to know, who did he gift?
Gifted Dustin. Dustin R. 1987. Welcome to the family. That was a good year.
Man, you know, Shane, maybe my favorite cousin right now. Even his team is struggling.
He's going through it.
They'll get back on it, but it has not stopped the legend, Stephen Up, from being a gift master. Stephen Up, we thank you.
We showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Stephen Up's gifted Brad McClain. Brad, welcome to the family.
And then Glenn Warsaw, big Sooner there. He's gifted a membership as well, Shane.
Absolutely. And that's going to Jeremiah Ruth. Jeremiah, welcome to the family.
And Boomer, be, Dad. Man, these boomers, man, they're ready to whoop Michigan's ass, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they are, man. Coach is fired up. Players fired up. You know who else should be fired up? Silos, because he's now part of the family, courtesy of Boomer. Silos, welcome to the family.
And one more, say Justin McClum has gifted a membership.
Yeah, no, Jay, he just became one. He just said, hell with it. I ain't going to wait for a free one. I'm going to get my own. Justin, welcome
to the family. Welcome to the family.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Yeah, man. Aren't you pumped up? I was listening to the Michigan coach. I hate the Michigan coach, but I'm listening to him today talking about Oklahoma and all the ties he's had with them Oklahoma Sooners. Oh, my gosh, man. I'm getting so pumped up for week two, brother.
Well, you know who's going to potentially, Shane, have a lot of money to buy some memberships?
Who's that?
Coach Kalen DeBoer. Because sounds like his ass is getting fired, Shane. They have already put out odds to fire this damn coach and to see who is the next coach. Shout out our buddy Chris Marler. He did this fancy graphic on the right. And then here's some additional odds on the left. But we don't have to go through all of these, but some of these are very interesting. Shane, Tommy Reese, what? 3-1. Of course, he was Bama's offensive coordinator. I thought he did a horrible job. Yeah. Now he's in the NFL. Glenn Schumann, the Georgia defensive coordinator, 4-1 to be the next Bama coach. My personal favorite, Shane Kiffin, 5-1 to be the next Bama coach. Dion, 8-1. Jimbo, 12-1. What are we doing here? John Gruden, 14-1. That'd be great. And if I had to run over to my bookie and put some money on it, Shane, my money's on John Summerall, 22-1. He'll be the next Bama coach. But, you know, these are kind of funny. Nick Saban, even 33-1. Yeah. But thoughts on the fact that we damn got odds to be the next coach already?
I love it. We're all the way back, right? Week one overreaction, which rightfully so. I'm not letting him off the hook, man. Coach coming out here this is Alabama. You do not go down there and lose to an unranked opponent. He's just done it four times. So, yes, I feel like this list is obviously needs to be out there, but some interesting names on here. I'm just looking through them, and is there, like, if you were to put your money on – let's say two names right now, who would they be on this list?
Yeah, I already gave one. John Summerall, 22-1, the Tulane coach. He's going to be, in every damn opening that I see coming, I think he's going to be the first candidate, whether it's Auburn, whether it's Florida, whether it's Kentucky. He's a Kentucky grad. But, hell, I think he's outplayed his way past Kentucky, no offense. But I think John Summerall is going to be one hell of a coach in the SEC. How about a wild card here, Shane? He's a little bit older. But he is doing a good job. We got to hand it to him, even though I think he's kind of a tool, and I would not want him in the SEC, but I'd take him. And that's Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti, 25-1.
Ugh.
I think just given what he's done there, what he's done at his previous stop, guy's a damn winner. And I think Saban is a big fan of Kurt Cignetti based on what I've heard. So I think he'd get the Saban seal of approval.
Well, I hope it happens, too. I mean...
And all of a sudden, Bama wouldn't play anybody, you know?
And then we could do this list again in 2 years, you know? Oh, man. You know it's not getting fired, cuz... 22 Schwerb, 22 just became a member. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Schwerb. Oh, I love it, man. I love it. Hey, I will say this. I don't think he gets fired, man. I really don't. I know this was a bad one. I know this is a bad game, but I truly think that I think Alabama still got it in him. It's an uphill battle, right? They're going to have to not only win this team over, they got to win the fans over, they got to win the media back over. It just feels like it is an uphill battle, but maybe that's what this team needed. You know, I was listening to Steve Sarkisian talking about Arch Manning today, not getting hit early, you know, and you know that old saying, you got to get hit first. Maybe that's what had to happen here. Alabama had to get punched in the mouth to have that rally cry. Oh, man. Jeez Louise. You're already gearing up for Fine Bomb, aren't you?
I tell you, Shade, yeah, that's all nice and well. You're being optimistic. I think that's the Vol in you wanting to keep his ass, because that's the game. Have it circled, Shane. Tennessee, October 18th. If Tennessee goes down there, and I liked what I saw from Tennessee in the opener. They looked better than I thought, even. If they lose to Tennessee, his ass is gone, because they'll have lost to Georgia already in Athens. And then let's say they split Vanderbilt at Missouri. I think they'll lose one of those now.
Mm-hmm.
But the old heads, I've heard this from many people that would know, they will not stand for losing to Tennessee in Tuscaloosa. That's going to define this guy. If he loses to Tennessee, that would be two in a row. That would be Tennessee winning, three out of four,
I think.
Yeah. I think his ass is gone if he loses to Tennessee. So just keep that in your back pocket and remember who told you that.
I just think they need to be patient here, Mike. You know, maybe year three, you know, is kind of when he's going to take that.
I don't see it. And I even got this. I played this once before, Shane. I know you've seen it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for any of the cousins that haven't, I mean, this guy's melting down here. This was a question he got asked on Monday, and I just cannot get this out of my head.
You mentioned the great week before the game. Just how much do you self-scout the preparation before games, and are there times as a coach where maybe you notice during the week that things might not be going the way that you want them to?
You said, what do you mean, great week?
A great week. You said a great week of preparation.
For this week, you're saying,
going up to Florida State before that game?
I said that?
You said that, yeah, before.
Oh, just
somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Today, Junior.
Buddy, you ain't in Washington anymore. You know what?
No. I made the joke that this is me telling my boss that he calls me out for not saying I wasn't going to be late as I stroll in 30 minutes late again, you know? So, me? I said that? I'm on a diet? What? No, I said next week, next Monday. Nobody starts a diet on Tuesday.
Here's a shout out, Floki. He gave us $5. Bama will fire DeBoer before Tennessee beats Florida.
Oh, man. Before that? Tennessee beats Florida in the swamp, Bama will fire DeBoer. Do you think he'll get fired that soon?
I don't know.
Will fire DeBoer because Tennessee's winning in the swamp this year. So I'm just thinking, what game will the Vols? Let's just devil's advocate, Mike. All right, let's just, because we do this. I think we all do this. We're talking to our friends. That's what we're doing here. This is that SEC podcast. You are in our living room. We're just talking. What if Kalen DeBoer does get fired this year? What ultimately has to? I mean, it's easy to say, well, lose to ULM, lose to Wisconsin. But realistically, Mike, what would have to happen for Kalen DeBoer to lose his job in 2025?
I mean, basically just what's happened already, you know, where being double-digit favorites and the team not showing up. And it's, again, this is not a one-off. I heard some people, hey, you're just overreacting. Well, I mean, it was the same damn thing last year. You'd win a big game. He beat Georgia. That was a hell of a game. We had people saying, God, why do we even watch college football? If Bama's just going to Saban, to DeBoer, they're just going to dominate the damn sport. I'm done with this. Lost the next week to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, he'd win a big game against LSU, and then he'd pee down his leg the next week against Oklahoma. They beat, I think it was Missouri. Missouri, I think, was one of their better wins last year. It was either that or South Carolina, and then they turn around and lose to Tennessee. You know, they win the Iron Bowl. That was a game a lot. I don't know if you remember this, Shane, but it was like, oh, Auburn. Auburn needs this one. They had just beaten A&M. Mm-hmm. If they beat Alabama, they're in a bowl. They're going to be fired up. Hell no, Alabama smoked their ass. You say, okay, Alabama's turning it around. Then they look like dog shit against Michigan in the bowl game. I mean, this was every game. Look good, look bad, look good, look bad. And now they look bad again. I mean, there's no excuses. This is what I think what we're going to get. So it's losing games that he shouldn't be losing. I think that's how they're going to run his ass.
We will see. And that's the bad thing is Alabama's schedule is not easy. They have got a lot of tough football games ahead of them. Florida State would probably be, what would you say, one, two, three, fourth, maybe the fifth, fourth or fifth toughest team that they face this year, in your opinion?
No, oh, no. I would say seventh or eighth.
Come on, keep going, Mike. Keep
Georgia, LSU, those are far and away the best right now based on what we've seen. Hell, Auburn. Auburn looks like one of the best teams in the damn country after 1 week. Tennessee looks a lot better. South Carolina's defense looks elite with maybe the best quarterback. Missouri's got Bo Peep back here at quarter. I mean, hell, all these. Hell, I think Vanderbilt's better than Florida State. And hell, I just completely overlooked all Money Mateer in Oklahoma. They might be the 10th best team Alabama's playing.
Liquid says FSU's the fourth best team in Florida.
Exactly. I mean, that's not a good team, I'll tell you.
Oh, well, man, what a day. What a time.
And maybe one guy we can't rule out, Shane, being the next Bama coach.
Yeah.
Because I say he's about done at Clemson. I don't know what in the hell. This is a back and forth. Dabo and Brian, I can't believe Brian Kelly went here, but this is not AI. This is not edited. This is real. This is Dabo and then Brian Kelly responding to him. This is classic.
That is a physical group. It's a very smart quarterback. And that is a back. So they're going to be a problem. And they got some explosive dudes. And it was a hell of a game. It was a hell of a game. Down the last play. Right out of the gate. It's like getting the final exam day one of class. They made a 65. We made a 58.
Well, I thought we dominated them in the second half. So he's either a really good grader giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us, or he didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half.
Damn, man, that's cold right there, isn't it?
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Marler for teeing up that question to him. I was like, I'm so glad he's down there in Louisiana, because we're going to start getting, because he knows what he's got. He's going to, if one of two things going to happen, either they're going to stop answering his questions, they're going to stop letting him come in there. So keep it up, Marler.
Yeah, it's been a great week for old Chris Barlow. You know what?
Oh, man. You know what else is a great week? When Rhino shows up.
Yeah.
Bam! $50 donation. Appreciate you, cuz. Bama needs someone who knows Saban's expectation. Boomer Roll Tide Kiffin. What do you think of that?
I mean, that's the man, Shane. That's the guy I've been touting. He's turned Ole Miss into a damn juggernaut.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this. He would walk on broken glass, barefoot, from Oxford to Tuscaloosa, yes, to offer him that job. And I know people, it's 100% true. He wanted that job. Mm-hmm. They didn't even consider his ass. And that's fine. You know, we all make mistakes. Hell, I made about 6 week one when it came to the game predictions. You know, yeah, it's not always the first choice is the right one. Just quit screwing around. Go get you Lane
Just
Kiffin.
And
he'll take it in a heartbeat. And he'll be the portal. Imagine Portal King he is there at Alabama. You know what?
Yeah. That's what happens. They need to just take some of them rhino pills and make the phone call, get them down there. You know? Oh, appreciate it, cuz. Gage says, DeBoer had an 18-minute presser yesterday and never mentioned ULM one time. Not the Bama way for sure. No, you are correct. The Bama way is you're supposed to dote on them for 15 minutes. Classic Saban, and that's the problem. You don't have classic Saban. And one of the things I saw this weekend, Mike, I think Marler tweeted this. Man, he's been on fire. Maybe he's all in my algorithm now. But they took the desk that Nick Saban had, all those championships, the trophies. It was just like that old school, everything's wood. And then they just cleared it out. And it looks like an Apple store. Looks like, you know what I'm saying? And it just.
I saw someone compared it. They said it looks like a Verizon store.
Yeah, I can see that. It looks like a Verizon store and had no character. But yes, clearly there's a new change in town and it is not working.
Mm-mm. But you know where it is working, Shane?
What's that?
Because we got some games to break down here.
Yes.
I want to start, you know, this is obviously not the biggest game necessarily of the week, but it is the only conference game. That's why I really wanted to hit on it. Ole Miss at Kentucky. And hell, Ole Miss looked like $1 million. Kentucky did not, to say the least. But hell, yeah. I mean, this is the same deal as last year. And shout out Kiffin, who made note of this, that the last four games, Shane, have all been decided by 3 points or less. And I believe the last two by 1 point.
Yeah.
So, but Ole Miss is 3-1 in those games. So they've kind of had their way in it. But, man, what's your thoughts on this one? Ole Miss, a little bit of a revenge game. I think there is some advantages that Kentucky could have in this football game. More specifically, Shane, that Kentucky is this favors Ole Miss significantly. They're the most explosive offense in the SEC.
Yeah.
11 plays of 20 or more yards Ole Miss has had. Meanwhile, Kentucky has only allowed 5 of those, but of course they're playing damn Toledo. But, Ole Miss, I think, Kentucky's really got to limit Ole Miss big plays.
Yeah.
Limit their possessions. Got to run the football. If Kentucky has like a single turnover, I'll call this game. They've got to win the turnover battle too, I would think.
Well, I mean, that's the classic recipe here is slowing Ole Miss down, trying to play basically keep away. You know, Zach Calzada is not going to win this thing with his arm. They're going to win it running the football, keeping the defense off the football field, you know, trying to get as many 3-and-outs as possible, create turnovers. Lord knows Austin was, you know, had his moments last week. I feel like that's the recipe. However, you beat them last year. And I'll say this about Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's a spiteful son of a bitch, you know, and he will remember you if you do him wrong till the day he dies. And the fact that because at the end of the year last year, when Ole Miss didn't make it, you could look at the Florida game. You could look at, you know, Lane Kiffin knows if he would have beat Kentucky, we would have been in, you know. So I know that's stuck in his crawl, and that makes this game more personal. So with that bullseye, there's no doubt in my mind Ole Miss is not overlooking Kentucky this year. This could be a very, very ugly game, Mike.
I tend to agree with you, but I thought that last year. Again, we should probably at some point stop referencing last year, but it did happen. But how does the narrative change for Kentucky specifically, if they are to pull off this upset? And again, it's a home game.
Yeah.
It can be a tough environment there. Of course, I don't think they've won a conference game in like 2.5 years at home. But if they pull it off, I mean, what does that do for Mark Stoops and his group and just kind of the trajectory of this Kentucky program?
There's never been a bigger game in Stoops' life. That's what it feels like, right? I mean, obviously, I can't really say that because Stoops doesn't, I don't think, necessarily have to win this game. Mm-hmm. But to get everyone back, because he's lost them. He's lost them over the last couple of seasons. In fact, we've never felt so good about Kentucky until they had this win last year. So, yeah, you want to get the fans back. You want to get the media off your back. I feel like you got to win, man. This is a crucial, crucial game for recruits. It's a crucial game for portal kids moving forward, coaching staff not leaving anymore. So, this is a big one for Coach Stoops.
And will Lane Kiffin, hell, you know, maybe that is it, Shane. Maybe he's eyeing that Bama job, and he starts losing focus here. I mean, he will be permanently branded Lane Whiffin if they drop this game, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that list that you just showed me going to Alabama, ain't nobody going to take him down there if he can't get past Kentucky.
Well, Alabama and Kentucky, they don't face that often. So,
of course, he's one of those like, well, I mean, if I had the roster Alabama had. You
know? Yeah, just all to say that they better win this one. And we'll find out a lot about Austin Simmons, too.
Yeah,
because it's a lot easier to play at home than it is on the road, particularly in this conference. But again, he looked like $1 million. They love him down there. They're devoted to old Austin Simmons. But I have seen fans turn on a quarterback pretty damn quick, and you'll lose him if you lose to Kentucky, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's one thing I did like about last week was Kentucky's defense, and I don't think they're not going to try to make his life miserable. And Kentucky's the best defense that he's faced so far this season. So yeah, that's the probably the most intriguing matchup is just Austin against these guys.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this. You said you were watching all the press conferences. Mm-hmm. Old Stoops, he was asked. This is not what you want to be asked after week one. He said, did you consider benching Zach Calzada during the Toledo game? He said, you know, honestly, across my mind, I was like, oh my God. Come on, buddy. Oh, wait. So here's the stat I was struggling to find here. Kentucky rushed for 220 yards last week. Now, I get it. It's Toledo.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss, they gave up 191 to Georgia State. So, you know, Ole Miss is not the juggernaut on defense yet that they were last year. So there is an avenue, I think, for Kentucky to make this a competitive ball game if they, because I thought Kentucky's offensive line looked really good. Again, it was Toledo, but that's the DNA of what they want to be. And I thought it was a good first sign last weekend.
Yeah. Mike asked, does Kiffin play pickleball before the Kentucky game? You know damn well he will.
Hey, Shay, well, you know, we got all these great games. I'm going to get into another one here.
Yeah.
I think maybe the best weekend of the game. But if you're searching, Shane, searching for tickets, you don't have them yet, go to SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com, or make it super easy. You can download the app on your phone there.
Yeah.
And put in that promo code SEC10. You get 10% off your first purchase at SeatGeek, again, with that promo code SEC10. And the beauty of it, I mean, I know all the cousins here are diehard football fans, but maybe you're trying to get the missus to a concert or a play or a performance or something like that. Or maybe you want to buy your dad or your uncle, your brother tickets, whatever. It's not just sports. They got all the live entertainment. They got you covered over at SeatGeek. So go check them out. And don't forget that promo code SEC10. You might as well save you 10% if you're going to go to the game. You know what?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to keep raising the prices. This is one way to lower them.
Well, I'll tell you where, unfortunately, I think it's already a set. Well, fortunately for Mizzou, it's a sellout already, Shane, because they got Kansas coming to town. Big old bad little Kansas over here. This game, I didn't realize, Shane, that this all-time series, 56-55. I mean, we're talking one game. Of course, Missouri has won the last three. They haven't played since 2011. But everything's on the line, Shane. And old Drink says, hell, if we were playing for a Coke can, I'd want to win it. How about you?
And the point of it is not what they said. The point is to make sure that our fan base and our players understand that we know the significance historically. We understand the importance. We're not overlooking or undervaluing this game. We know it's an important thing to our team. But during the week is not the point that you get it going. During the week, you have to focus on execution of your assignments because you don't want to be emotional. You want to execute. And so, you know, we got all that out the way. We understand. We know there's a trophy for it at the end of the game. Our goals every year is to win our trophy games. This is a week that we got a trophy on the line. You have a tangible thing that you're playing for. And in college football, you don't always have that after a game. Sometimes you just got to attaboy. There ain't no attaboy after this one. There's a dadgum war drum and several other stuff out there. And you win it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. And I don't care who you are. If you're a competitor and there's something on the line, I don't care if you're playing against a buddy at home and one-on-one. If there's a Diet Coke on the line, you want to stink and win because it's painful if you don't. So our guys understand it. Like that ain't the issue. The issue is, are we going to be able to execute? Are we going to be so focused on the crowd and doing this that we forget it ain't about that? It's about hands inside. It's about executing your assignments. It's about having eyes on your keys. It's about communicating the formation adjustments. It's about offensively making sure that we're all on the same page on our identifying the fronts that they're going to be in. That's going to be way more important than whether we had a guest speaker tell us about in 1854 or in 1960 they played an ineligible player. Like, okay, great, perfect. Let's make sure we got a Rip and Liz call.
Yeah, Shane, that's what's important here. Make sure we get that Riz. But what if they did play for a Diet Coke can? Would that change, you know, how fired up you were for this game?
I could use one right now. I mean, we are completely out of soda, out of beer. I'm drinking coffee, for Christ's sake, you know? So, hey, I will say this, Mike. There was about 20 questions, it felt like, and 17 was about this rivalry and, you know, the importance in trying to get that through the ears of these young kids that, you know, a lot of them didn't understand the rivalry. Hell, some of them weren't even alive. So I think all of them weren't alive. That was the tough part. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, one of the things he said in that press conference, which I thought made sense, was don't make it too big, you know? It's big for the fans, right? It's important for the fans. But sometimes when you make a game too big, you start making mistakes. You keep trying to do too much, you know? It's like me. If I hit a bad shot, you know, in golf, I'm trying to get it back on the next one, and guess what? It goes 15 yards that way, you know? It's sometimes when you're trying to do that, I feel like you can overcorrect. So coach just knows what he needs to do here, and I got full confidence that when this game's over, there's probably going to be some fights. There's going to be fights in the stands. There's going to be fights on the football field. I think it's been hammered home how big of a rivalry this is.
Mm-hmm. Would you, if you're Missouri, would you lean on the ground game, or would you ask Bo Prabula to win it with his arm? Because hell, I thought he looked a lot better as a passer than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. Yet it's still, we know it's the kind of the bread and butter of Missouri offense to run the football, especially with Hardy, you know, the biggest breakout star in the conference this year.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, Hardy's going to be a big part, but they're going to be anticipating that. And I felt like that's why Hardy had such a tough time getting going to begin with. For me, Mike, I want to open it up. I want them to play on their heels, because when you do that, that's when Hardy can have success. That's when this running game can have success, because it's not just Hardy. I mean, they got a whole group of them back there. But more importantly, Mike, it's a defense. You know, this quarterback they're going against is – no, I don't want to say similar to Florida State, because probably a lot of people didn't watch the Mizzou or the Kansas game or any Kansas game this year. This kid's electric. You know, this is a kid that was on a short list for a Heisman watch a few years back. You know, he's not a terrible athlete. He's a great athlete. And I feel like the main thing that Mizzou needs to do is suffocate him. Let sure he doesn't get outside those tackles. Well, I want to see this the most aggressive defense this Saturday. And when you do that and you break his wheel, then you lean on that running game and you just put this one away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were talking about Jalen Daniels there. He's got 456 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, mm-hmm. 1 interception. So Kansas played 2 games already. They're 2-0. They beat Fresno and some school named Wagner. Mm. But here's something, Shane. There are 101 in the country in third down conversions, Kansas is, after playing Fresno and Wagner. So something tells me that their third down offense is not elite. Meanwhile, Missouri is number 13 in the country in third down stops. Now, I know they played Central Arkansas, but again, that seems to be a major advantage for Missouri. So be on the lookout for that. If Missouri can suffocate Kansas on third down, I think it's going to be a long, long day for the Jayhawks. You know what?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm hoping.
And shout out, it's not going to be a long day, Shane, for Senior Joshua. MIZFKU and beer for my favorite primo, Shado.
Hell yeah. A lot of people I asked, are we getting out there? We are not, unfortunately. Man, I absolutely love it. But we had a couple other games. We're trying to get to all the SEC teams, but I think it's going to be an absolute this may be the game of the week when it's all said and done, and I'm looking forward to it.
How about this one from Gregory, Shane? They're going to take an L before and after the game. Mizzou 70.
Just barely skating by, you know?
Caleb Log, Mizzou teams are judged by whether they beat Kansas. This game means everything. They ran away when we left the Big 12. FKU burn Lawrence.
I told you, man, when they start singing a damn song and it was about KU, I'm at an Oklahoma game, you know? I was like, wait, you guys sing this every week? And they're like, absolutely. Brightside was designed just for the FKU team.
Now, let me ask you this, though, Shane. I don't even think you've considered this, but what's the reaction if they lose?
If they lose?
Yes, sir. Missouri. What if Missouri loses?
Shit. Well, what if I'm 150 pounds, Mike? I guess I could run a mile then. You know, it ain't going to happen. Obviously, if you're talking a miracle and Kansas somehow pulls this out, it's because Mizzou got away from what going into week one, Mike, we told you this needs to be a physical defense. And I got to see some growth. We saw maturation in the game last week. And I feel like if they get to playing as individuals and not team, I think that could be a problem. And I don't think it happens. So I don't even know why I'm even exercising this illusion.
Well, I mean, that can happen when you got all these transfers, you're putting them together. They're still learning to play as a unit. You're down a kicker now. He's out for the year. They've officially confirmed it. I know they've added one now via the junior college ranks, but I don't know. Hell, it's less than a touchdown spread, so I don't think it's that inconceivable, really.
No, but it is, kind of, if you think about it. I mean, if you think about it long and hard enough, you know. Kansas, don't get me wrong, you can't
overlook
this thing.
I think that would be less of an upset than Florida State whooping at Bama's ass.
Well, and we just saw it. Maybe because it's at home, though. That's the only thing I would skew that. I feel like if it were at Kansas, possibly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, what they're going off is the first two games, which is not fair that we're judging Mizzou off of Central Arkansas either. You know, so I feel like this is the true test, the first true test for both teams. But I saw a lot of mistakes because I watched both the Kansas games. I saw a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties, like you said, a lot of third down inefficiencies. You know, it felt like we put everything on the shoulders of that quarterback who could barely stay upright at times. So I feel like that should be the biggest concern. And I like the depth that Mizzou has compared to Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Central War. What a name. He just became a member, Shane. Welcome to the family. Hopefully, he's not a Kansas fan.
I doubt it.
Hey, how about this awesome matchup, Shane? With another one that could be the game of the week in the SEC, if not the country. College game day headed to Norman, Shane, for Michigan at Oklahoma, of course. Oklahoma's favored by 5.5 points. Michigan's 1-0 after beating New Mexico 34-17. But how about this, Shane? I was looking at old Michigan's defense.
Mm-hmm.
They had 9 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, and gave up just 50 rushing yards. Again, it was pitiful New Mexico. But this is going to be a damn battle in the trenches, Shane. Oklahoma was down 3 starting or potential starters on the offensive line. They're all projected to be back for game 2, and their starting left tackle, Jacob Sexton, he got banged up, left the game in the first quarter. So maybe that would excuse some of Oklahoma's issues running the football against old Illinois State. Also, Jaden Knott only played 4 snaps, and Venable says, hey, you're going to see a lot more of him, but still just being kind of vague with it. But this is going to be a true test of old John Mateer and what he can do against a quality defense, because I think this is a true toss-up type game.
What's the spread on this one?
5.5, Oklahoma's favored.
Okay, yeah, I do. I mean, obviously it's going to be a test, but Oklahoma will be tested all season long. And some of the things I did like about week one, because I rewatched it, one of the things about Oklahoma, it felt like that was just for John Mateer. That was just for the wide receivers. It felt like that was just for the offensive line. And yes, they did get away from the running game, but you always call it playing vanilla. I feel like hiding one of your biggest assets from Illinois State is strategic. And I feel like you get a full dose of the Oklahoma offense coming into week 2. So in Michigan, I'll say this, super talented. This is not a bad Michigan team. They've got plenty of 4 or 5-star talent on here. It will be a damn fight. And yes, rightfully so, with game day showing up, they know exactly what this one's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, or if you don't know, Michigan's got a running back, Justice Haynes.
Yeah.
He was at Bama.
Bama, yeah.
And he, before that, he was a high school in Georgia. He was one of, if not the top running back. He's a real player. So that's a guy to keep your eye on. But yeah. Michigan's leading receiver, it's a tight end. So I'm not too worried about old Michigan, you know, going up and down the field. But I do anticipate this will be a low-scoring game. I mean, I think like first to 21 wins it. I'm pretty comfortable. I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
You may be right, man. And I think you are. I don't feel like Venables is going to do anything super aggressive here either. You know, this is one of those that you'd like to get that lead early, lean on that defense and running game, which we didn't get to see week one. But you know, you also got John Mateer back there, and it's like, what's that that movie where the two cops, Will Ferrell and what's his name, and he says, "I'm a peacock, I got to fly," or something like that. That's gonna be John Mateer. It's like, we're gonna run. We're gonna keep this little bit conservative offense, but dude, the kid just has to get out there. He has to run, and I don't think he could turn that off. So this should be a very, very fun game. But I am also worried about possible mistakes. Because unlike Illinois State, some of the dumb mistakes we made week one, that would be a touchdown or a defensive stand or something like that with Michigan. So you got to clean that up coming into this week.
And what's your confidence level that you can kind of, I don't want to say just roll the guys out there, because I know they've been practicing hard and everything, but for several offensive linemen, you know, it'll be potentially a new lineup for Oklahoma because guys were banged up or missed the first game that they're now you're getting your first test, you know, with this five potentially against a Michigan team where their strongest portion of the entire team is arguably the defensive line.
Yeah.
Going up against that test. I mean, it sounds great, right? We're like, hey, we're getting all our guys back. That's fantastic. But they have limited chemistry, limited time on the field together. You know, that concerns me as well. Does that concern you at all?
It does. It does. But again, this time last year, we were in like full panic mode, you know, over the offensive line. And, you know, some of the things that I love listening to these coaches talk, and then I try to decipher what they're really trying to say. and I always felt like when he was talking about this offensive line, like last year was such a anomaly, you know, is that how you say that? Is that another big word I use? Mm-hmm. And it felt like the mistakes, the injuries, things like that's not typical. Right. And I'd like to think that this is an offensive line that has gained a lot of chemistry here in the offseason. It showed week one and bleeds into the second game. And this is a true offensive line that can compete with just about anybody in this conference, definitely the Big Ten conference. So I do believe this will be a dogfight up front and probably going to be the deciding factor who wins. But if this offensive line is truly back, I feel like they could we're going to find. If Ott's going to be able to find those lanes, we'll know pretty soon, because it's going to be either because of that offensive line or this defensive front for Michigan.
Is it also fair to say that what we think we know about these teams, we could potentially throw that completely out the window? And we'll know Saturday night, you know, all we need to know about Oklahoma and Michigan.
You know, it's funny because this is the most volatile team that we talked about this offseason, the ceiling and floor. It just kind of went round and round. For me, this is the temperature gauge. This is the one we lean back and we say, oh, you know what? Oklahoma not only is going to compete in this conference, but could be toward the top of it, or it's going to be another struggle. And I kind of wish most of our team, Southeastern, because there's some that are going to have cupcakes for a few weeks here.
Right.
But I kind of would like to know, what are we dealing with? What can we have? What can we truly fix? And I believe we're going to find out real quick who Oklahoma is.
Yeah, because that's exactly where I'm at, Shane, where I think I'll be all in, or I'll be fire his ass. You know, I mean, if there's no in between, you know what?
Yeah, we'll be doing another list. You know, bring them same coaches up. Who's that?
All right, how about this one, Shade? This is talk about a prove it game for old Mississippi State hosting Arizona State. Shane, I heard Arizona State was God's gift to football. They went to the playoff. They're favored by only 6.5. Arizona State beat Northern Arizona. I didn't even know they had a football team, Shane. 38-19. That's not that impressive to me. And they were just 2 of 10 on third downs. That's 121st nationally. Again, they played freaking Northern Arizona, whatever the hell they are. Who cares? But this is a game, I think, where the fortunes of the entire Jeff Lebby program can be turned around. A lot on the line. I don't know if you saw it, but Arizona State's practicing with cowbells in the background. That's been going on social media. But if old Blake Shapen has himself a day, Shane, I think Mississippi State could pull the upset.
I heard, is it Dillingham? They said he was talking about, he goes, that's the only thing about going to these small towns. They ain't got a hotel within an hour and a half of the stadium. And I'm like, yeah, they do, you know. Or he was talking about food. He says, you know, we got some guys that've got some, you know, basically soft stomachs, and we've got to find them like burgers and stuff. Like they're out here scavenging for food or something, you know. And then he mentions, Seattle, you know, they got options up there. I was like, man, this guy's never coaching a Tuscaloosa. I tell you that right now. But listen, this is a big game for Mississippi State, right? Because right now there is nothing other than State fans, but and even some of them, most of them, are just doubters right now. I can't – we're not having conversation. I mean, trust me, we got a lot of great State fans that will hang out in here and drink cold beer with us, but they're not going to sit across there and say, you know what, we're going to run the table. We're back, baby. This is a big season upcoming, though. But you knock this one off, then I think that changes the trajectory of this program. You're going to sit back and just say, because Arizona State's a really good football team that's returning a lot of talent, okay? This is one of those that, you know, didn't hit the portal so much, kind of like Clemson, and we saw how that went. But, you know, I feel like this, if Mississippi State gets this one, then all of a sudden we look back and say, you know what, Jeff Lebby's cooking something here. It may not be a 9-win season, but it's progress compared to what we saw last year.
Right. And all of a sudden that shine on the playoff run that Arizona State made.
Yeah.
Hell, if Mississippi State was in the Big 12, they may have made the playoff too last year. You know what? So, I know they got this God's gift to quarterback, Sam Levitt at quarterback. He also leads the team in rushing. So, you know, got to limit him. But that's the beauty of this Jeff Lebby offense that is being run several places around the country in the SEC, Shane, where, you know, all it takes is quarterback getting hot, score a couple. Mm-hmm. You can beat teams that have a lot more talent than you with this offense, with this tempo. It's something Arizona State cannot possibly be accustomed to. They're not going to be accustomed to that humidity either, buddy, with them cowbells ringing in their damn head. I think a fast start will be critical. Just like we last week, getting off. Now, it wasn't critical necessarily in the Southern Miss game, but they did score on the first possession. Something like that to give the crowd hope.
Yeah.
If Arizona State jumps on you early, I think it could get ugly. But I think if Mississippi State can jump on them, they start to have belief that they can do this. And, you know, if you're just basing it purely on talent, Mississippi State is just as talented as Arizona State, believe it or not.
It's like that meme, you know, the soccer show, and it says believe up there on that. That's exactly Ted. Is it Ted Lasso? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's exactly what will happen if Mississippi State walks here. Because it's easy to say, trust the process. I mean, that's such a cliche, right? Just trust the process. We'll be fine. We're building something here. But when you got coaches that just got their ass kicked telling you, man, let me tell you about that defensive line, you know, the money that they spent down. We can't compete with SEC boys like that. And then you come down here and you got Arizona State, and like you said, gets hit with that humidity and the cowbells. And I'm praying that the stadium is full for these cats, because that's what you need, man. You got to have some chaos. We got to make the stadium loud. And I feel like you do that, then all of a sudden the belief starts creeping back in to that fan base.
Mm-hmm. And I did see an article by Chris Lowe today, Shane. They said Mississippi State had a NIL budget of $4 million, just $4 million last year. They said this year it's closer to 15 million. So they've injected talent and money into this roster, and we'll see if it pays off. That's probably a hell of a lot more than Arizona State's got to pay players, I'll tell you that.
Sven already calling out Tennessee again. Can't have that. Let's focus on Arizona State first. Jeez.
He's already looking five games ahead. You know what? Well, I'll tell you, you better not look too far ahead, Shane. That's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt facing Virginia Tech. We whooped their ass last year. Can we do it again? We got to see a taste of Virginia Tech as they faced South Carolina, of course, in the opener. Virginia Tech has got one day less to prepare. The great Steven Lassen, you know, he put that out there on yesterday's, if you saw it, Shane, where he said, hell, Vanderbilt's a tough-ass team to prepare for with this damn triple-option shotgun that they have, and Virginia Tech's got one day less to prepare for it. That got me thinking, Shane. I think Diego and company, I know you hate them, but I love them. And I think if they prove you and the nation wrong, if they go into Virginia Tech and pull off the upset, because Tech's a 1.5-point favorite, but this is a toss-up type game, and I know the competition was poor, but I loved what I saw from Vanderbilt's defense last week.
Yeah.
If our defense continues to get better and better under Clark Lea, Vanderbilt's going to be one tough out for everybody they play this fall.
Yeah, and it's a tough get, you know, trying to go from South Carolina to Vanderbilt, totally different offense. You've seen that. If you haven't seen it, then you weren't toe-to-toe with them last year. You know, you weren't either losing or getting beat by Vanderbilt last season. This is a big one for Pavia because, again, nobody talked about him week one, but he played a phenomenal game. Pavia hasn't gone nowhere. He's probably healthier than he's ever been, and I think it's a major, major win for Vanderbilt to go on the road and say, hey, we weren't a one-hit wonder. We're here. They're the ones that should be pissed off that they're not in the top 25. So big, big game for them, and it also kind of helps us gauge a little bit of South Carolina, too. You know, if Vanderbilt comes out here and beats them by 35 points, then all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute. You
know? Or maybe South Carolina just got pushed by maybe one of the best teams in the ACC. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody said. Of course, you always say that after you beat them, you know, like, this is going to be a good team. I said about Syracuse, I wouldn't be surprised if they go 11-1, you know?
How about this one, Shade? This is a big showdown in the state in Little Rock, Arkansas versus Arkansas State and your favorite, oh, Butch Jones, baby. Arkansas is a big-time favorite, though, 23.5. Sam Pittman, no fan of old Little Rock, nor should he. But, man, this is all the pressure in this matchup's on Arkansas. I don't think that matters too much because they got Mr. Talen Green. As long as you got him on your side, you got a shot to beat the hell out of everybody you play. But any thoughts on that, Shane? That hell, we already know the pressure on Sam Pittman, but wonder if you know the players are feeling the pressure of having to go to Little Rock and facing Arkansas State.
It's funny. I don't know about pressure, but I think internal pressure with the coaching staff, mainly Sam Pittman here. Right. This is one that you just can't afford to even be close. You know, that's the problem with teams like this, because Arkansas State is a lot better than their week one opponent. But, you know, if you're sitting there and it's 14-7 at half, a lot of people are going to be pointing fingers. A lot of people are going to say, here we go. When are we firing this guy already, you know? But if you come out here, you let Talen Green cook, this defense builds off the exceptional play that they had last week, we may also be sitting back saying, man, you know, this is a team that could probably beat Ole Miss going into week three. So this is a kind of a swing game for them Razorbacks.
Yeah, but I don't know if you watch that Notre Dame game, Shane. It looks winnable now. I'm just saying. So, again, you get hot. You should crush this team. But my only concern is, you know, I'm not a big fan of this damn Little Rock game. I don't know about where you're at with that, but it's like,
yeah,
it's not a home game, but it is. And it's a, you know, it's an old stadium, and
yeah,
Sam Pittman kind of, you know, I believe this is the last year where they're like under contract to do it. And I really hope it's the last one they do up there, because I think it's a big disadvantage for Arkansas.
I I couldn't agree more, Mike. And I mean, we've asked several people from Arkansas about this and the boosters and how there's money involved and stuff like that. But no, I feel like how can you build on fan experience if you don't have the same home game? That it almost, it's not neutral site, right? But it kind of feels like we're Jerry's World again, you know, and I don't want to do that. I would rather just keep, let's just build at one place and let's party, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know where it should be a party, Shane?
Where's that?
The Swamp. Come on, baby. Because Alex Golish and company is coming to town, Shane. Florida's a big favorite, 17.5-point favorite. I know the Bulls, they are. They beat Boise. I don't give any damns about that. But what say you, Shane, with old Florida hosting South Florida? Are the Gators on upset alert?
Yeah. yeah, listen. I know what you're thinking. Shane hates the Gators. No, I do think that South Florida is a really good football team, but outside world probably doesn't appreciate that. So if it's a close game, they're going to consider that a loss for Billy Napier, even though it's going to be a tough fought battle. You know, Golish has got these boys dialed in. I mean, I don't know if you watched them last week, but Florida can also put all these naysayers to bed, right? That Florida is having a down year, that we're being overlooked. They could come out here and put all that to bed if they do exactly what the Florida Gators should do, and that is curb stomp South Florida. You know, this should not be a ball game. This shouldn't be like Nick Saban last time he played them down there. You know, this needs to be a blowout, and the game needs to be at hand by half, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you got me thinking. I mean, not only Saban you mentioned, but just last year, old DeBoering got pushed by this South Florida team. It was a 4-quarter ball game.
Yeah.
Now Bama did blow them out in the 4th quarter, but that was a home game. But I don't know. I think South Florida whipping Boise.
Yeah.
I think that helps the Gators because it keeps them locked in. They're not going to be overlooking this team this week who does have a good coach. They do have a good quarterback. So this will be a nice little test. But Florida's, I think they're legit, baby. And they won by 55 last week. I don't want to give away my pick, but don't be surprised if it's something similar this week, Shane. I give the Bulls, I call bullshit on the Bulls, I should say. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. If Florida loses, screenshot, I'll also get a Tennessee T tattoo.
He's safe. He don't got to worry about it.
Oh, shit.
Well, and then the rest of the games are relative cupcakes, Shane. Yeah. LSU, Louisiana Tech. LSU's a 38-point favorite. Any chance that the Tigers, you know, hey, they won their big game. Now they take it easy, and maybe Tech gives them a game here.
You worry a little bit about it because all the chirping Coach Kelly's been doing this week. But
even know they got a game?
Yeah, he's going to tell you how bad Clemson sucks for about 2 more days. And then he's going, oh, yeah, we got to focus on these guys. No, I don't think this is a football game at all. In fact, you just kind of hope everybody stays safe and healthy. You know, there's a few like Georgia and Austin Peay, and you're going to get to those. It feels like this is just teams like we want to just go out there, get the job done, get some of these young kids in there and build some competitive depth and then be all right.
Hey, shout out TC Gamecock. Shane says emergency podcast for the tattoo that man gets.
I'm telling you, they're going to track you down, man.
How about Ball State at Auburn, Shane? Mighty Auburn. You were dead right about Auburn. I was dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they better beat them. They're 44-point favorites in this one.
Classic Hugh Freeze, right? Well, for starters, you can't have Jackson run for 100 yards either. You know, I feel like we need to keep our quarterback safe, keep him healthy, because there's going to be games we're going to need him to run. This should not be one of them. It's good to have him back home, back-to-back games. But this is a perfect schedule for them to get their shit together, right? Just to clean up some of the mistakes they made week one, build off that. I would love to see these receivers getting more involved. You know, that was something we didn't get a lot with Baylor, and we got to get that chemistry dialed in by the time we get into SEC play here.
How about Texas and San Jose? How many touchdowns does Arch score, and does San Jose even score at all?
They do not, and it's six. And I feel like, yeah, classic Manning, you know. I feel like you gotta not win the fan. Texas fans still love Arch Manning. They know what they've got there. But I feel like it's important for the fans to see some early success. So this one, it would not blow my mind if it's not 35-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Let me ask you this. What's the panic meter if it's tied at halftime?
A 20. Yeah, out of 10. So, I mean, that would be a massive. I mean, hell, we may do an emergency podcast at halftime just to say Texas is done, man.
The first Manning benched in the SEC.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. Let's just hope that doesn't happen. And I feel like there's going to be some explosive plays in here naturally. But then we lean back to just ground and pound, getting some youth in there.
Mm-hmm. How about A&M, Shane, playing Utah State? Aggies favored by 29.5 here.
Mike, I would be happy if they don't pass one football in this game, you know? I just want to see this A&M team just run up and down. Marcel Reed's going to get his opportunities here, but it just felt like that offense was sluggish at times. And,
boom or bust is what I called it, you know?
Yeah, it was just up and down. Yeah, great, great point. See, like a seesaw, you know? So I want to see more consistency, and that starts with efficiency up front.
Hey, this is technically true. The Aggies are underdogs in this game. Do you know that?
No.
Because Utah State is the Aggies, too.
Damn, he got me. Took me a second.
Now, we kind of already hit on this team a lot, but what do we want to see from Bama against ULM, they're a 37-point favorite?
I'd like to see some push from the offensive line. Just know that they have life up front. I get the running game involved. I'd love to see Ty not run one damn football in this. and more importantly, maybe, I don't know, just a suffocating, excited, rejuvenated football team. You know, I want to see fight till the fourth quarter, and I don't care if it's fourth string linebacker coming there. He better be freaking fired up when he touches the football field.
Right. And if Kalen DeBoer wears a T-shirt, fans are going to be pissed. You know what?
Yeah, that's what we need to worry about, right? I will be watching this just for the emotion. I want to see, because you could tell when a team's really pumped up and they're playing together. And somebody posted a video of Proctor doing some early. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen it, but I'm just nervous based on that lead.
So he's doing some warm-up drills out in the football field with his phone in his hand. That's where we're at. That's where Bama's at.
Do you think it'll be 100% attendance? Like, if where would you put it, 0 from 100%?
Oh, no. No, this would be, I mean, they'll probably yell that it's 100%, but you're going to see about 40%, 35% of it empty.
35, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I was thinking closer to 85.
Well, you may be right. I mean, it's the first home game, so you're probably correct. But
if it's less than that, though, we got problems.
At halftime, I can hear the classic Nick Saban talking about them kids leaving, you know, because they're going to be bailing after about 40 points.
Because I don't know if did you see this? Kirby, let's talk Georgia next. They're playing Austin Peay. He was pissed that there wasn't a sellout for Marshall.
Well, somebody asked him. I don't know how you have the balls to ask Coach Kirby Smart what kind of incentives can we give the fans to show up, you know? And the incentive, he says, just watching a Georgia football game. There ain't what they got six home games, you know. This is one of them. What a face! what a terrible picture here, man. If he sees that one, he's gonna be. He looks like an 80-year-old man throwing the football.
Now you see why I'm out on him.
I don't want to see Gunner run, but I do want to see some more explosive plays on this offense and just tenacious D. Obviously, when you're looking at Georgia, the ultimate motivation to get fans in the seats is to play competitive football games, and I think Georgia does a big part of that. You know, I mean, pull up their schedule one more time, Mike. So after this, who they got? Well,
at maybe Tennessee, Bama.
I mean, they didn't schedule, like, what was that other one you said? Warner or something that Kansas did? I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, Wagner.
I guess Austin Peay is kind of a shitty team. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you do give them something for showing up.
How about showing up for this one, Shay? Tennessee, ETSU.
Yeah.
Will we be looking out here? Tennessee's down a couple corners in this one.
Wife is actually going to watch this one because she heard ETSU is that she couldn't tell you who's starting anywhere on this football team, but looking forward to you know, ETSU close tie. I like ETSU. We go up there all the time. Obviously football here. I almost went to food. Okay. If you're ever up there, there's a place called Cootie Brown's. Make sure you hit it up. Their tamales are fantastic, but ETSU, no. Quarterbacks, you know, one thing you got to think about, these, they got two pretty good, damn good quarterbacks there. So they're going to test this defense. But I want to see the continuation off week one. I don't want to come out here and then all of a sudden, this is like classic Tennessee. You start out great. Everybody's excited. And then week two, it's a 14-6 dud at halftime. We don't want to see that. Let's just continue off of what we had week one. We're not looking back anymore. We're talking about moving forward and work on some of those mistakes we made early in the season.
And then final one, Shane, South Carolina hosting South Carolina State and them Bulldogs.
Now this is cupcake, right? This is cupcake. Let's pad some stats for Lenore's his Heisman run and then get him the hell off that football field. I'd love to this running game. I want to get it more involved. Mm-hmm. And obviously just the defense, just stay suffocating, stay as good as you were last week, and that's kind of what I'm looking for.
All right. Well, buddy, that's all the games we got. How about a mailbag? How's that sound for tomorrow's show?
Hell yeah, let's do it. Come on.
All right, anything else before we hop off the line?
Yeah, tomorrow morning I'm going to be up bright and early, so I hope to see everybody 7:30 Eastern time for SEC Hangover with Big Cuz Shane. We're going to talk about controversial list. You know, listen, I don't like list, right? I told you I hate list, but I find myself doing one every single week. And this isn't so much a list as it is I watched all 16 games and I'm reevaluating who's the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. So hopefully you guys can tune in for that. It will not be controversial. I think I've absolutely nailed it. Everybody's going to be tickled pink where their quarterback lands. But JP, appreciate you putting the list together. Today's shout outs go to Cousin JR, Gunner Ward, Steven Up, Glenn Warsaw, Boomer, B Dad, Chase, Flocky, The Rhino, Gage, Senior Joshua, Gregory Grogan, It's Savvy, Andy Alexander, and Central War. Thank you all for being absolute legends. Appreciate you, JP, for putting the list together.
Yeah. I'm still laughing that you put rhino pills. You worked that into the damn show. All right, so that's going to do it. Be back tomorrow. We got the morning show. We got the mailbag show. We'll have Steven in the afternoon to make his predictions for week two in the SEC. Stay locked in on the channel. Like, subscribe. Please share with anybody you know that might like the show. Really, really helps us out. But that's all we got on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.